And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Thanks so much for tuning in on this fine Thursday. And in the studio with me, I'm so very lucky to have Ms. M.K. McNaughton. Hi, M.K.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today.
Of course.
So you have a fabulous exhibit opening tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes. It's at the Rookery.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's called Undercurrents. Can you tell me a little bit about, well, why is it called Undercurrents?
This is the perfect weather for this show. I was in kind of depressed by the rain last year when it was just dumping. And I thought I have to do something with this that's positive. And I made a painting a year ago that I called Undercurrents. It looked like it had emotional undertones. And okay. So I had imagined that this show would be a kind of deep, meaningful show. But when I started looking for images a couple of months ago to paint for this show, I started finding childhood memory photos, walks on the Oregon coast and places that I like to take my kids now, Shelter Island, places around Southeast Alaska, and there are a few from Oregon. And so I grew up in Oregon.
Right.
And so the show's turned into really just a celebration of sweet memories of growing up in the downpour.
And so do all of them involve water then?
They do. Every picture has water.
Okay. Great. So, I just wanted to talk a little bit about this is, you know, painting is not something that I've always seen you do. This is like a kind of new development in the last couple of years. Isn't that correct?
It is.
Yeah. How do you feel about the, you know, the new, because they're beautiful. It's beautiful work and the colors are vibrant and wonderful. And I'm just wondering how it's feeling to you and what's it like?
I love it. I had the impulse to paint, and I love the feel of oil paints. I took one class from Chris Taylor at the Canvas while I was working there, and I learned a lot in just a couple of classes from Chris. I obviously have a lot to learn, but I'm just doing it and kind of learning trial by stroke.
And right.
It's fun. There's a line from a Macklemore song. I listen to his recent CD a lot, and it's about 10,000 hours. Becoming a master in 10,000 hours. And
right.
So I'm thinking, I'm trying to paint about 1,000 hours a year, 10 years. You know, I didn't go to art school, and I really haven't taken any classes apart from that one from Chris. So this is my own self-imposed master's program.
Oh, wow.
In art.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So how many pieces can we expect to see, and what do you have on the walls there?
I'll have 15. Pieces on the walls, ranging in size from 12 inches by 12 inches to 3 feet by 3 feet. So
okay. Smallish
to largish.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
15 finished pieces. And then I have about 25 little tiny paintings, and half of them are dry enough to put out tomorrow. The other half will be revealed later throughout the month. Because oil paint does take time to dry, especially when it's wet out. So some of them aren't there yet. And I'm also going to have some mugs with my designs on them,
made by
Tom's Pots. And I had something else. What did I have? One other thing. Mugs.
Sketch
paintings.
Onion
this
bowls.
Is all paintings.
It's all paintings. Okay.
All paintings. I have my class schedule that I'll have rolled in little tubes. They look really cute, little tubes of
great. For those of you who don't know, MK teaches classes at her studio, which is also downtown, you know, kind of right around the corner from the Rookery, actually. So you want to give us just a sneak peek at some of those classes you'll be offering?
I do. And they're not off. They're coming up in the fall.
Okay.
So I decided that's the best time for me to teach between September and December. And I've been teaching kids drawing and painting classes, charcoal and oil painting. And I got a couple requests last year from adults and teens to teach. And at first I felt hesitant because I don't claim to be a master or to know a ton. But I do. I am really good at trying things, and I'm good at learning. So I figured I could share that enthusiasm. And I did a little pilot class with some adults last fall, and I had a great time with it. So I'm offering that again. And it's a mix of drawing and oil painting. And then I teach kids invent classes too, as you know, Shona. I like junk and repurposing it. And so I have been offering that to kids, and I decided to offer it to adults too.
Because adults usually tend to have a lot of junk.
Yes. And there are enough out there who also like weaving strips of paper into baskets and making lamps out of blenders. And
of course,
you know, why not let adults do it too? So
yeah.
I will have my class schedules at the show, and I also will they're online on my website, which is mkmacnaughton.com.
Oh, excellent.
Mac, M-A-C.
M-A-C. Hey, okay.
Yes.
Got it. And then also coming up, too, you've been talking a little bit about art catering. I don't know what that is. Can you help me out?
Yes. Yeah. It's it is throwing a party with art. And I'm cheaper than the ice rink. So we started this actually when I worked at the Canvas.
Okay.
The Canvas isn't doing art catering right now, but it's something that I did while I was there. Somebody came in to host a bridal shower for some friends. She asked if we would do that, and we said, sure, we'll try it. And so I've continued on. I love doing it. I encaustic painting, which is painting with beeswax, or basket making, baskets out of chopped up old books, weaving them in the way that you used to weave gum wrappers. Some people will know what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
So those two have been the main parties that I've thrown. But I bring all the supplies, I set up, I help you create, and then I clean up.
Oh, great.
And it can be in my studio or it can be at someone's house.
And all this information as far as how to contact you about art catering is also on your website?
It is, and it will be at the Rookery. I'll have little cards.
Oh, great. And that's mkmacnaughton, M-A-C, .com, right?
Oh, I'm also going to have cards of my paintings. I'm having Capital Copies printing some cards right now so people can buy, if you don't have space for painting in your house but you want a little watery landscape, there's inexpensive possibilities.
Nice. So all of the paintings at your exhibit are going to be for sale. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So you can pop in there tomorrow. And is it up for the entire month of May?
It is. I'm hanging it at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So when they open at 7, it will be ready. And actually, things are for sale at 7, but the opening is from 4 to 6. And I'll hang around a little bit after that, but they serve dinner. So I figured that was the best time to be there, not disrupt dinner.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
And maybe I'll stay and have dinner.
Oh,
everybody can.
It's a fabulous dinner there.
Yeah.
You can look at great art and eat some fabulous dinner.
It's a great place to exhibit, and I really love supporting the Rookery.
Yeah.
Travis does a great job.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, MK. Check out her solo show tomorrow at the Rookery. It's called Undercurrents, and it's part of the First Friday festivities, which we'll hear about a little bit later when Miss Nancy Ducherney comes in here for Arts Up. Thanks so much, MK, for coming in.
Thanks, Shona.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 2nd of May, 2013. It was on this date, 1536, Anne Boleyn, the second wife of King Henry VIII, was arrested for high treason, adultery, and incest. She was intelligent, outspoken, she'd been raised in France, she had educated opinions about politics and religious reform. She came to the court when she was 20 years old to serve as a lady-in-waiting. She soon caught the eye of the king, and for 7 years he courted her, and for 7 years she put him off. He managed to get his first marriage to Catherine of Aragon annulled by breaking with the Pope, declaring himself head of the Church of England. And then Anne Boleyn consented to marry him. Their early months of marriage were happy ones. Their first child, a girl, born in 1533, Elizabeth. Anne had several miscarriages after that, and she never gave Henry the son that he so desperately wanted. So he accused her of every capital offense he could think of, affairs and incest with her brother and plotting his murder and witchcraft, and she was convicted and sentenced to death, beheaded by sword. In her last letter to Henry VIII, Anne Boleyn wrote, "Your Grace's displeasure and my imprisonment are things so strange to me that what to write I am altogether ignorant. Never a prince had a wife more loyal in all duty and in all true affection than you have ever found in Anne Boleyn. But if you have already determined of me, and that not only my death, but an infamous slander, then I desire of God that he will pardon your great sin herein, and likewise my enemies, and that he will not call you to account for your unprincely and cruel usage of me at his general judgment seat, where both you and myself must shortly appear. It's the birthday of Dr. Benjamin Spock, born in New Haven, 1903, author of the Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care, which came out in 1946, which began, "You Know More Than You Think You Do." It was the parenting Bible for the post-war moms and dads raising the baby boomer generation. It's the birthday of Jerome K. Jerome, born in Walsall, England, 1859. It was he who said, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours." And it was on this day, 1885, Good Housekeeping Magazine went on sale, offering housekeeping tips, parenting advice, product reviews, and fiction. The Good Housekeeping Experiment Station tested and evaluated consumer goods, and products that passed were given the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, which became part of the language. Here's a poem for today by David Lehman, Sin City. Cynthia was feeling sinful in Cincinnati. She had changed her name once, which was a pity. She was looking for a new name, but not necessarily a new flame. Was there a sir to sin with? The evening was a blur to begin with. Came the first day of spring, and in the trees birds sang, enacting one of life's mysteries. The wind played and the clouds wandered, like the lonely poet in Wordsworth's poem. Did she know it? What was the meaning of her laughter? That depends on if you're a son or a daughter. As the river south of the city flows, Cynthia reads the poems that name her and glows. Sin City by David Lehman from When a Woman Loves a Man, published by Scribner, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Kathy Roach and Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and I'm very lucky today to be talking to Lorraine Feather by phone. Lorraine Feather, you're on the air. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Shona. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So we're really excited to get Jazz and Classics kicked off here. It's one of the biggest events in Juno every year. And you're coming up, and you're a jazz vocalist?
Yes, I'm a jazz vocalist and a songwriter. I write the lyrics for everything I sing. With lately, I used to write lyrics to the music of Duke Ellington and Fats Waller, but these days I've been writing with some of the greatest jazz composers, one of whom is Russell Ferrante of the Yellow Jackets, who's going to be with me and performing with me.
Oh, wow. What a treat for audiences here in Juneau. So what do you travel, or where are you located? Do you travel around and perform all over the country, all over the world?
I don't tour that much. I live in the San Juan Islands of Washington State, so almost all the way to Canada,
mm-hmm.
and not as far from you as a lot of people who might be coming to the festival. But right now I'm in Los Angeles, where it's 94 degrees, and there's quite a large fire up the 101 freeway.
Oh, wow. Yes, it's very different from our experience right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, very, very much so. I'm fascinated by Alaska, though. I've always wanted to go, and I'm so excited. I'm going to take some sort of helicopter glacier trip on Sunday, too.
Oh, that is fabulous. So can you tell me a little bit more about your music? You say you write all the lyrics. How do you get the inspiration for your lyrics, and what kind of songs do you most enjoy?
It's it's hard to say where I get the inspiration because they're a combination of so many things. I don't know if you have my albums at the station.
I do. I have it queued up for right after we talk.
Oh, cool. Do you have which one are you going to play? Is it from Tales of the Unusual?
Let me check here. It is the new band from former Blue Merle frontman Luke Reynolds.
No, that's not it.
Cafe Society?
Oh, Cafe Society. Oh, that one was 10 years old.
But actually, we have The Right Idea queued up, so.
The Right Idea. Yeah, that was from the album Cafe Society, which was 10 years ago or so. But my last two albums, Ages and Tales of the Unusual, were both Grammy nominated.
Oh, wow.
And those are the ones that featured music by my ongoing collaborators, Eddie Arkin, Shelley Berg, and Russell Ferrante. And then there are some other composers there too, but it's all original music, and it's quite different. I write about subjects that few people do. The last album, Tales of the Unusual, was about odd people, strange events, and all kinds of unusual stuff. There's something about Percy Harrison Fawcett, who mapped the Amazon, called The Hole in the Map, and a song. And it's an imaginary woman living on an off-the-grid island and singing about her lover who is from what we call living in the islands, America, even though we're really in America, too, and writing this blog sort of telling people that the island is awful and they shouldn't, you know, Californians should not move there. There's one that Russell and I are going to be doing that's based on the movie The Usual Suspects, which was an Oscar winner for best script, I think, Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a real mixed bag of strange stories, and I do a lot of chatting and bring the audience into the songs. It's pretty different and very intimate.
Sounds like a lot of storytelling mixed, you know, with the music, which is...
Yes, it's storytelling, musical storytelling and spoken.
Oh, great, great. Well, that's interesting that you say that, you know, America is like is not the San Juans. We have the same thing up here.
I bet.
Yes, it's very common.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so what can Juno audiences, you know, you said lots of talking and about lots of music, and what can you say, you know, as if you're going to say Juno audiences can be prepared for this or look out for this, what would you... Pitch them to.
Oh, let's see. They can be prepared for a fair amount of humor. Some of the songs are kind of funny. There's one piece that everybody always seems to enjoy called Antarctica. That's about a woman who's pining for her lover who left her in the South Pole. She's writing a book about crustaceous lichens, and she's wishing that he had not gone to Antarctica. So there are just all kinds of unusual and odd tales. And they could also be prepared for piano playing by one of the greatest pianists in the jazz world living, Russell Ferrante. He's just tremendous, and it's an honor to have him
performing
with me.
Oh, that's wonderful. We're really looking forward to it, as we do every year, the Juno Jazz and Classics. So when do you arrive in Juno, and how long do you get to stay?
We're only staying a day, and because it's not really that far from Seattle, I'm going to meet Russell in Seattle Saturday morning, and to my surprise, the flight's only about an hour and a half, so we'll get there long before the show, and then leave on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear it's a very cool town, though.
It is. I hope it warms up a little bit for you. So I just saw an avalanche on the way to the show. Right.
An avalanche. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
really?
it was high enough. Nobody needed to worry about it.
Oh, sounds pretty dramatic, though.
Yeah, it is. It's quite beautiful. Well, Lorraine, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk with us. And what evening is your performance?
Our performance is on Saturday, and there will be an assortment of CDs for sale as well, so people who come can buy them and have them signed. And I hope that they turn out and fill the room, because I think they will be glad they did.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It's one of our most popular events every May. So
great.
Thank you so much for coming up and sharing your talent, and I'm really looking forward to the show myself.
Oh, thanks, Sean. I'll see you there.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Highway is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and you're invited. Enjoy an open house and tour of the MV Malaspina Saturday, May 4th from 8 to 9 a.m. at the cruise ship terminal. Bring the kids and stay for the blessing of the fleet. Enter the drawing to win a golden ticket worth up to $500 in passenger travel. It's happening May 4th at the cruise ship terminal in downtown Juneau. Learn more at ferryalaska.com.
And thank you for listening to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and we just heard a little bit of Lorraine Feather's music, who's going to be performing here on Saturday night. Very excited to have her here for the Juno Jazz and Classics. You can find out more information at junojazzandclassics.org. And in this studio with me right now, I'm so very lucky to have Dan Fruits and Jeff Brown. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi, Shona.
So we're here today to talk about your exhibit, your first Friday opening at the City Museum. Mm-hmm. So, Dan, will you give me a little rundown of what you've got going on up at the museum?
It's a collection of my latest paintings, or most of them were made this year.
Okay.
They're the landscapes, and then I've got the bear pictures and something different. I did a portrait this year. I have never done a portrait before, ever, but at my age, I can try different things. So there's a variety of things there. But
do you mind if I ask who the portrait is of?
It's of a young girl. I was in the Western Alaska in the villages, and it's from a photograph I took about 1976.
Oh, wow. So it's been with you for a long time.
But I deal with painting the villages still, and something triggered to make a picture of that, and I did. So.
Oh, wow. Great. And, Jeff, what do you have up there at the first Friday at the City Museum?
Some old history, some black and white postcards that I developed in the mid-'80s. They get a tongue-in-cheek style of humor, like cleaning the glaciers in Alaska, bear mauling, various things that you part of the Alaska kitsch.
Yeah.
But before we go too much further, I want to say I got a chance to look at Dan's work in the City Museum, and it just blew me away. The colors that you chose and executed, they bring out a lot of emotion, and just you're going to want to go see this art of Dan's.
Great. So, Dan, what is your is it oil painting, or is that
mostly oil on canvas or on board, on hardboard? Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly oil.
Okay, and you said all of them are this year, done this year?
I had a state show in 2009, and there's a couple of pictures in the show that I reworked, that were in that show that I reworked.
Okay.
The rest of them are all new, and most of them late 2012 or late last week. But
oh, wow.
We hung some of them with the paint still wet, but it's dry now. So
that's MK. McNaughton was just in here talking about her show and saying that her paint is still wet.
it's something artists do, I think. I had like 2 years to prepare for this show, and I certainly worked on it, but there's still that finishing it up at the last minute. It's part of the being an artist, I think.
Part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are these works up all month? Jeff, are your works up all month?
I think they're up through the summertime, so the million-plus visitors that we're having to the capital city.
4 months. That's amazing. That's great.
It's called the summer show, so.
Right, right.
We're still waiting for summer, though.
That's right. We'll call it the four-month rain show.
We had at least 8 inches of snow this week out the road. I live at 19 Mile, and mm-hmm. we had at least 8 inches, probably more.
Yeah.
I want to break in for a little bit and ask Dan, how do you come up with the colors in the scheme that you do? It's like sunrise and sunsets, moonscapes.
I try for something interesting, and then I keep open for ideas, and I'm just looking for some ways to make the picture more than just a picture. And so I stumble into things. The color is one of the things. I paint layers of color rather than, if I paint a blue, I don't just paint a blue. I paint it 4 times and it becomes different, I guess.
Right. Do you do most of your paintings off of photos or?
Most of them, actually, I make up. I have a vast collection of, if I'm painting a mountain with snow patterns, mm-hmm. Usually it's not a specific scene, but I have 100 pictures of snow patterns on mountains, and so I do look at them, and then mostly I paint and forget about what I've looked at and just
paint what you want, yeah. Is it easier, I was wondering this, because you live out the road, you said, mm-hmm. is it easier to be, more focused? Is it because it's a little quieter out there? Yeah.
Very quiet out there, very quiet.
So how does that help or hurt as an artist?
It's a long drive into town, so that I have to have a real reason for the distraction. I'm not easily distracted.
Right.
I have plenty of, plus... We out our windows the view of the Chilcats, a range I didn't know much about. We lived on Basin Road for a number of years. And moving out the road, I discovered the Chilcats, which are a wonderful, complex mountain pattern that I'm very
beautiful.
Influenced by. So, but there are less distractions out there, and I have a nice big studio and a very quiet one, and I can work and look out the window at the same time mm-hmm. at some of my subject matter.
Right. How long have you been doing art? When do you think you started?
All my life. I remember a time in junior high when whoever, principals or someone, was asking what your major is going to be when you get to high school, and mine was art then, has been that ever since. It's never been a question. Right. I've had lots and lots of day jobs, but I've always painted and always made pictures.
Right.
And I think getting better at it. Maybe every show gets a little better that I have, and I think this one's the best one yet, and I might get it right if I have enough opportunities.
So are these paintings for purchase, or are they...
There's a price list. There'll be a price sheet. Yeah, they're for. Mm-hmm. It's not the my main reason for having a show is not the sales. Mm-hmm. I have people say, I hope you sell a lot, but then that always strikes me as odd because that's not a very important.
Aspect.
I like to find good homes for the pictures. I like the fact when they stay in Alaska because of their such a Alaska subject matter. But I'm not going. It's not about the money.
Right, right.
There are prices, but...
yeah, but...
I don't mind living around my own work. I enjoy looking at art, and I can't afford others, and I don't mind keeping them if they don't sell.
Right. Right. So that, is there art all over your house then?
From various times, yeah. Yeah, we have a permanent collection, we could call it, yeah.
Well, in my case, it's all about the money. I'll be having magazines available for sale, yeah. Real Alaska magazines. Postcards are usually on sale in the past, but they're pretty much out of print now. They were made before Photoshop, using scissors and glue stick and a little bit of number two pencil to create visions of what people think Alaska might be or maybe it should be.
If our listeners haven't seen these postcards, they're just, they're wonderful. They're funny, they're fun, and they're actually, you know, they're going to be 1,000 times better than a postcard that you get of the glacier that says Mendenhall Glacier. You know, they're just a lot of fun. Real Alaska magazine is out there too, you said?
I produced Real Alaska magazine 3 years, and the last 2 years they're going to be available there if people would like to purchase them. Support my family, my daughter's college education. And a shoe appetite.
She does have a shoe appetite. That's great. Dan, is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about the show? Something unique and different? You said there's a portrait here this time that you haven't done before.
No, I encourage people to come out and look at it and hope they show up tomorrow night because I'll be there all cleaned up and smiling and and hoping for a good crowd. It's Support Your Local Artist Night, I think.
That's right. It is first Friday. It's Support Your Local Artist Night, and Juno's really good at that. So we've got
It is.
Yeah. We've got two fabulous artists in the studio here right now. That's Jeff Brown and Dan Fruits. They have a show tomorrow night, first Friday, at the City Museum. And what time will you guys get started?
4:30 to 6:30.
4:30 to 6:30, and you'll both be there to talk to people and
some good food too.
That's always a keeper right there. Well, thank you so much for joining us for Juno Afternoon, and I look forward to your show tomorrow night.
Thanks, Shona.
Thank you. Thank you.
best barn dance of spring happens this Saturday, May 4th, 7:30 to 11 p.m. at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown at 5th and Gold. Tom Paul will teach and call contra and square dances to live rocking old-time music by Andy Ferguson, Jack Fontenelle, and Sergey Morrison of Rumblefish. Recapture those folk festival highs on the dance floor. You don't need experience or a partner. Discounts for students and seniors free for SAG and JV's Barn Dance Saturday night.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
A magical opportunity has come to the JDHS Auditorium.
The theater department is performing the musical that they will perform at the International Fringe Festival in Scotland.
Come support these award-winning JDHS students as they perform Pippin,
a story about a troupe of actors who lure a man into a world full of illusions as he searches for fulfillment in
splendor, power,
and glory. May 3rd, 10th, and 11th at 7 p.m.
May 11th at 2 p.m.
Tickets available at Hearthside Books
and jahc.org.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in this fine, fabulous Thursday. And in the studio with me, I'm very lucky to have Daniel Becton and Lori Hagee talking about Project Ubuntu. I'm going to let them say that much better than me. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Shona. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah. So, tell me a little bit about actually what this project is, because I read a little bit about it online, and I was like, this is really cool. That was about the sum up that I had of it. So I'll let you do the hard work.
Cool. That's nice of you to say. I'm spending 1 week in one community in every state in Washington, D.C., and I'm celebrating and supporting an organization in each community that brings people together to help other people. So really trying to celebrate the fact that in every community there are people helping one another, regardless of the economic conditions of that community.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the 35th week of 51 weeks.
Oh, wow. And You've been doing it a while.
Yeah. I've been about 27,000 miles so far around the country. And really excited to be here in Juneau this week with JAM, Juneau, Alaska Music Matters. I'm a musician, and I'm really into service and education, and this really combines all three of those interests. And so I'm really celebrating what's going on here in three schools, especially through the leadership of Lori Hagee, who's with us as well.
Yes, the fabulous Lori Hagee, who we're super excited that JAM is even a part of our community, because that's something that you actually brought in. So we're about, what, 4 years in? 3 years
we're
in?
We're just finishing up the third year.
Okay, so I kind of figured it was around there. And so what can you tell us a little bit of some summary of the program, Lori?
Sure. It's an El Sistema-inspired program that came from Venezuela with the mission of creating exceptional human beings through music and developing citizenship by using the orchestra or ensemble as a metaphor for an ideal society where everyone contributes in a different way to something larger than themselves. And we started it here in Juneau in collaboration with the Juneau School District because of all the research that shows starting an instrument at an early age really helps build school readiness skills like focus, discipline, teamwork. And we've had those kinds of successes. We started at Glacier Valley the first year with all kindergartners for 90 minutes a week during the school week, and then expanded it to first grade. And this year, we've expanded to three schools. So it's Glacier Valley, Riverbend, Auk Bay. And those two schools are starting in kindergarten as well. And they will expand to first grade next year.
Oh, wow.
And then at Glacier Valley, we moved into an after-school program where our second graders have 6 hours of music enrichment. Orchestra, garage band, they get to compose. Clinket dance and drumming, creative movement. So it's been wonderful, and I really appreciate the Juneau community and school district for supporting the program, because without that collaborative effort, we wouldn't be able to make it happen.
Right, right. It's just, for those of you, for those listeners who have not actually seen these, you know, these JAM kids in action, it's a sight to behold, and I encourage you to check out any performance that they have. I've seen them at the school board. I've just seen them at a lot of places. Just some amazing work. So, Daniel, you've gone into the schools then, I assume, the three schools?
Yes, I've been spending a lot of time at Glacier Valley Elementary, and I've also been to Auk Bay a couple of times and Riverbend as well.
And what have you been noticing that's, you know, unique and different about the Juneau experience?
Well, all this beautiful weather that you have, for one thing. I've been in about 50 schools in the 35 states that I've been to, mostly Title I schools, in some of the roughest areas in New York, Baltimore, Atlanta, Miami, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, San Antonio, all over the country. And I'm so impressed with the schools here in Juneau. Excuse me. Glacier Valley especially has incredible staff. The people there create the kind of environment where children can really thrive. The resources are also excellent. The musical instruments that you see in these three schools are incredible. I taught a music class in San Jose with a couple of drums that were stolen the first week, and that was all we had. And you go into Glacier Valley and Riverbend, and you've got like 30 guitars and cellos and violins, and it's just really, really wonderful to see. So I'm really impressed with the community, the strength of the community in these schools, as well as just the opportunities that children here are afforded, regardless of their class or ethnic backgrounds.
Right. So with your project, and you're coming here and you're doing a lot of observation, are you also working in the schools as a musician and doing workshops and that kind of thing?
So every place I go, I'm supporting organizations in a lot of different ways. That might mean handing out food at a soup kitchen or working in, you know, community-based agriculture for the week. But more often than not, I'm doing a lot of leadership workshops for young people. You mentioned, am I working as a musician? I have worked with Ms. Hagee's students, but the primary thing I'm doing this week is creating a video to sort of show the nature of jam and what it's doing in the schools. So I'll be putting that together over the next week or so, and that will be something that JAM can use to show what they do.
And were you familiar with the JAM program before you came to Juneau?
Yeah, I'm focusing on music in four of the 51 states, and that's also happening or happened in Tulsa, Las Vegas, and Durham, North Carolina, which is close to where I'm from.
Okay.
All four of those weeks are El Sistema-inspired initiatives. And so the folks in North Carolina connected me to Lori some time ago. You know, I planned this trip for 2 years and raised all the money to be able to travel around the country. So Lori and I first Skyped while I was in London, where I've been living for the last 3 years. And she was in Alaska, and, you know, we figured out the time zone math and planned it out ever since then. And she's been really wonderful hosting me this week in addition to helping me work in the schools.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And I'm wondering, too, you know, I'm a little biased, I got to say, towards the Juneau community. But I'm wondering kind of, you know, you say that or people helping people, right? And how do you see that in Juneau, kind of outside of the school system as well?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, actually, because I've been particularly pleased with that element of things here. I went to the Glory Hole fundraiser on Sunday. And the Empty Bowls fundraiser. And I also saw you singing on Saturday night in the
another
event.
Fundraiser?
Right.
Yeah.
And so how do we transcend us and them is kind of the central question of my project. And here in Juneau and everywhere, that really depends on pride. The wrong kind of pride is arrogance. But without pride, there's no leverage. There's no motivation for a group to define itself through service, through love. Here in Juneau, I find that people have a really wonderful sense of pride. There's a strong sense of pride toward the Tlingit culture and history. There's a strong sense of pride about how much people want to come here as tourists, and we see the first cruise ship out there. And there's a really strong sense of pride about these incredible natural resources that you have. And I think it's really neat how hard it is to get here. I think that really helps preserve a lot of the mystique and the majesty.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been really pleased at the level of pride, and I don't feel that people here are arrogant at all. They're very down-to-earth and welcoming. And so I think those are really the ingredients that you have for the kind of positive community that can help transcend the us and them structures that inevitably are present in any society.
Right, right. So, Lori, do your students have any upcoming performances at the end of the school year?
Oh, yes. Our kindergartners will be performing at Glacier Valley this Wednesday, May 7th.
Right.
Our second graders will be performing May 15th at 10:15, and our first graders May 17th at 9:45. And I know that I should know off the top of my, I don't, the Ok Bay and River Bend concerts, but they're also coming up for their kindergartners. And then talking about community, Juno Jazz and Classics has invited all three kindergarten jam programs to open the community day at UAS.
That's
Sunday, May 19th, I believe, at 11 o'clock in the Egan Library. So it will be a gathering of some very young musicians who will be excited to play together. And we're looking forward to that.
That does sound incredible. Well, thank you so much, Laurie Hagee and Daniel Becton, for coming in to talk about Project Ubuntu and, of course, JAM. We really appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Kids were grooving, glasses on the shoulders, they were cruising the neighborhood. Rocking and rhythm, they were rocking and rhythm. Down on the stoop, out in the street, all I could do was follow the dance beat. And that song pulled me along, well, it won't be easy to believe what I'm telling you. Everything gets drug along, lots of drugs too. Much later, supermarket shopping, as I grabbed a cart, I heard the rhythm below the store. Looked around me, saw everybody popping in a crazy conga line, I hooted and hollered some more. Rockin' in rhythm. Everybody was rockin' in rhythm.
And thanks for listening to So Much to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona, and in the studio for Arts Up is Nancy DeCherney. We're very excited to have her, of course. And she's going to go really quickly.
So you should know that you can get all of this stuff on our calendar, which is at www.jhc.org or at the K2 calendar.
That's right.
Because there's a lot. I want to give you the ticket update for Jazz and Classics, because if you haven't got your tickets yet, you might want to think about it. They're down to 60 tickets for Arlo Guthrie. They're sold out of the Strings on the Shrine at 4, and they only have 8 for the 6:30. They're running out of tickets for other things. I won't go further. You know who you are if you haven't bought your tickets
yet. That's true.
This is like one of the busiest weekends ever.
Ever. I feel like that happens every week.
No, this one, I mean it this time. First of all, it's First Friday, and we'll get to that list. And it is Salmon Derby, and it is the kickoff for Jazz and Classics. But it is also, let's see, we've got ballet to Broadway to Bollywood, the Juno Dance Unlimited Dance Recital at Thunder Mountain. It's going to be fabulous.
Yep.
Of course, you got a couple of days in the weekend to go a couple times. Pippin opens, the Juno Douglas High School musical group over there. And we got a couple opportunities, but, you know, you just think, oh, I can see it another time.
You can't, because this show's coming fast, and it's going to Scotland, and they need some money.
Yeah. And if nothing else, just send them the money. And also, Perseverance is opening. The Road Weeps and the Well Runs Dry opening night is Friday.
That's right.
Again, this one is the same deal. You think you have to the end of the month, and the next thing you know, it's June. And you missed it. So don't do that. Also, just because Perseverance doesn't like to sit around doing nothing, the young company is presenting Nancy Drew, Girl Detective, at the same time.
At the same time.
But not on the same stage.
Right. Although I might try that next time.
That would be fun, having two overlapping things going on at the simultaneously. I feel like that all the time. At 10 p.m., it is the Femme Fatale Annual Drag Show Fundraiser at the Rendezvous on Friday night. And on Saturday, get up real early at 8 a.m., go down to the docks where the ferry used to come in.
That's right.
And the Malaspina will be there.
Malaspina, before it goes to Tracy Arms.
Yes, celebrating 50th anniversary. And there will also be the Blessing of the Fleet. Then at 8:30, sprint out to the Ok Bay. There is a Audubon Wildlife Cruise at 8:30 and at 1:30. And you can get tickets for that at Hearthside Books. At 10 a.m., there's a police outcry auction. Let's skip that. That's not art. We got so many other things to talk about. There are many things going on. Yes, there's the cruise from downtown Juneau to Tracy Arm Fjord, which It's sold out, so why are we talking about it? at 3 p.m., and it's the 23rd annual Full Circle Music Studio Recital at Aldersgate. And at 7 p.m., it is the Thunder Mountain Big Band with Ain't Misbehavin'. It's a formal ball. You don't have to dress up, but it's an opportunity to do so if you like. It's the Spring Fling over at the Jack. All you dancers, come on out. It's the Juno Jumpers End of the Year Show and Dessert Auction.
So much fun.
It is. They're fabulous. Celebration of the Big Lebowski at Rockwell. Raven Lunatics versus the Kill Cats. It's their last bout.
Yeah, their last bout. Roller Derby.
I don't know how we're going to do all this, Shona. Femme Fatale Annual Drag Show Fundraiser again at the Rendezvous. And the Young Company and Perseverance and Jazz and Classics has jazz at TK McGuire's. There is the first Saturday improv, and there is a Roller Girl after party at 9 p.m. with DJ White Chocolate over at the Rendezvous. Sunday, you can get up. There's the ukulele jam at Rockwell, and at 2 p.m. it's UAS graduation.
That's right.
I believe they have one of their largest graduating classes ever.
They do.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
It is very exciting. Then you could also see the ballet. You could see Nancy Drew. At 3 p.m. it is the Second Sunday Family Movies over at Douglas Library, and you could see the Aldersgate Full Circle Farm Music Studio thing again. Jazz and Classics has Strings at the Shrine. As I said, there's only 8 tickets left for the 6:30 show.
Yeah, I got to jump on that.
It's beautiful. And at 5 p.m., it's the second annual Daddy-Daughter Dance at the JDH Commons. Let's see, Monday, there's plenty of things going on, the historic downtown walking tour. We better get to First Friday, though. I skipped kind of the First Friday stuff.
Right, right.
We better do that because there's a ton of stuff at First Friday.
So we talked about M.K. McNaughton.
Okay.
She was here on the show. She's over at Rookery.
Right.
And then Dan Fritz and Jeff Brown we talked about at the City Museum. So.
And that's going to be a wonderful show.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
And they're also doing guided tours or something of the downtown area can get. And they
that's
have Tyus Schaub in the gallery.
Oh, cool.
In the shop. So I'm going to do this in alphabetical order. You can go any way you want to. The Alaska Robotics has Quilts by Carol Suring. I think she does her maybe own dyeing and that sort of stuff. The Alaska State Museum has Bird in the Tree, Fish in the Water, Vase by the Wall. It's an exhibit by the artists from the canvas. This is in addition to the exhibits that they have ongoing, the Raven's Tail and the Tlingit Armor. It's always free after 4.
Okay.
So the Alaska State Library on the 8th floor of the State Office Building, they're open until 6:30, I think it is. They have Threefold, photography by Dave Depew, Char Fox, and drawings by Lisa Simpson. Annie Kales has a new Byron Birdsall print in. There are oils by Richard Weatherman, and they're having a Mother's Day jewelry sale. Let me just say that it's Mother's Day coming up, guys. And children and everyone, and a lot of jewelry in town. We have several new jewelers over at the Jack, for example.
She's saying, Claudia's... wink, wink, nudge, nudge, is what she's saying.
Oh, yes. Okay, see, there's going to be the 13th annual members' spring exhibit at the K2 Studios there. See, there, nothing was on your walls when I came in, so I thought, nothing's going on.
I know.
I was wrong.
It's getting hung.
It's getting hung as we speak. Aunt Claudia's Mary Ellen Frank has been out at a show and has come back with some new dolls. So stop in there. Bee's Bistro has Alice Albrecht with Alaskan-themed art. Caribou Crossing is open in a new location across from the library, and they have Lisa McCormick silver jewelry. She's from Kodiak.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh.
I wish I was a mom.
Hearthside Books is having a book signing by Tom Walker. His book is The 70-Mile Kid. The Juno Artist Gallery is featuring Beth Handley, also a jeweler. At the Arts Council, we have Alexandra Fate. She's from Haynes, and Rudy Asturias. And let's see, what else do we have? We have we talked about the City Museum. Oasis Wellness Spa on 3rd Street has Char Fox. The Silver Bow has Enigmatic Shores by Bill Doctrum. And you know, you can just come to the Arts Council and get your little flyer, because that's where you're going to find
it. That's kind of the best thing to do, really,
mm-hmm.
is just take a look at the flyer.
Zach Gordon is even going to have an opening. They have Seen, Heard, and Connected, and it's only on Friday. So lots of stuff to do out and about. Don't sit home. We're going to find you.
Yes, somebody will find you. And so, did you say, where's the website that people can check out this information?
It's our website, which is jahc.org, or it's the KTOO website. The calendars are shared.
Oh, isn't that, that's super incredible. And, yeah, you can find out all of that information and more, because we did. I think we only hit Monday.
Yeah, we didn't get all,
we didn't get all
through the week. And
that's right.
Let me see. I want to make sure there's nothing coming up that just we would be real sorry to miss.
All right.
All right.
Thanks so much, Nancy. So
thanks.
For Arts Up, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama says there is more work to be done to secure the border between the U.S. and Mexico, but NPR's Scott Horsley reports Mr. Obama told a news conference in Mexico City today that should not be an obstacle to immigration reform.
Republican Senator Marco Rubio says the border security provisions in an immigration bill may have to be strengthened to win congressional backing. President Obama said during a visit to Mexico, he's optimistic an immigration overhaul will pass this year. He says the U.S. has already poured enormous resources into border security, and while some additional work may be necessary, he says that shouldn't sidetrack the broader reform effort.
What I'm not going to do is to go along with something where we're looking for an excuse not to do it, as opposed to a way to do it.
The president says the two countries also need to work on easing cross-border commerce, a major focus of his Latin American trip. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Flames fanned by gusty Santa Ana winds continue to burn in Southern California today. The fire fueled by unusually dry